Chodesh Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Zayin, and we're right at the top of the daf. And we have so far learned that the marker for your tefillin to be dafka on your left hand is because we have three mekorot that say that the left hand is obviously the pashtus of yadcha, because together with the yadcha, it always says yemini. And that means that the yemini is the other hand, and the yadcha is the left hand. In which case, we now don't need any more rayas that the tefillah needs to be put on yadcha. But Rabbi Yossi Achurim disagrees, and he says, it's not true. There is a yad that is considered to be clearly a yad yemin. Shenemar vayar Yosef ki yashit aviv yad yemino al Rosh Ephraim. So you see that yad can also be called yad yemino. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. Yad yemino. So obviously our Tanner will say, yad yemino. Yes, of course, if you add the adjective that it's yad yemino, then it's yad yemino. But if it's stam yad, then it's not yad yemino. You're bringing a raya against yourself. Yad stam lo yikre. But Tosis explains that Rabbi Yossi Achoreim, by the way, it's interesting, it's not quite clear who Rabbi Yossi Achoreim is, because sometimes Rabbi Yossi Achoreim is actually Rabbi Yossi. Why was he called Achoreim? Because he was the one that said the din of the, in the list of the Bali Mumin in Bukhares, he was the one who explained the Chorim, the Charum. So he's the one who created, which means someone whose nose is so recessed between his eyes that his eyebrows meet on top. Fine. Anyway, but Rabbi Yossi Achurim, he holds that since the pasuk continues, says Tosis, and it says Yad Aviv afterwards, Vayitboch Yad Aviv, it doesn't say Yad Yemino, so that means that that Yad, being as we know that that Yad was specified as Yad Yemino, it must be that Stam Yad can be Yad Yemino. Hashem King, our Shita, we had an Omid Aleph, an Omid Beis, says that since it already was defined as Yad Yemino, that doesn't count. Rabbi Nasser Omer, Enot Sarich. Now, the Braisa says you should know that you don't need all of those psukim to prove that Yad is Yad small. It's very simple. Since the Torah made a hekesh between Ukshatam La'ota Yadecha, now that puts together kishira, it's a hekesh of kishira to ktiva. Just like ktiva is done with your right hand, so too the kishira of your tefillin on your hand has to be done with your right hand. And if you're using your right hand to do the kishira, then obviously you can't be using your right hand to tie on itself. So if kishira is b'yamin, hanacha must be b'smol. And that explains why we use the small for the tefillin. Now, the pashtus of Rashi, who says here, most people, in other words, the statistically, kshira is compared to the ktiva of statistically ktiva. So since the overwhelming majority of people write with their right hand, so that means that the right hand is a given. That's what Rashi seems to mean, and some of the Pesukim actually say this, including the Gra. And that would mean that if a particular individual writes with his left hand, it wouldn't change anything, because it's not a din in you writing with the hand, doing the Kshira together and the Ktiva together. It's a din of identifying what is the hand that is meant to be used. And that would be the Kshira and the Ktiva of most people. So even if I happen to be a lefty, wouldn't make any difference. Also, another interesting issue that would be raised here would be, what if somebody is a lefty only in terms of ktiva, and he actually does everything with his left hand but writing? And some people do this. They train themselves to use their right hand for ktiva, because it's difficult to write with your left without smudging the letters when you're doing safras. So this often happens. You find someone who does everything with their left hand, except for ksiva, which they do with their right hand. If the mocker would be not like Rashi, and we would understand the kekesh of kshira and ksiva to be an individual hekesh, the hand that you use, would that mean the overall being lefty or righty, or would that mean dafka, the hand which you write with, as opposed to doing things with? All of these things are very nogea halacha lemaisa. We'll see, however, that there are more shitas that are involved here. So now, according to Reb Yossi, how does he know, since he doesn't see these psukim as implying that it's yamin, how does he know that hanocha would have to be bismo? Where would he know it from? Ah, he could learn it from the same place that Rabbi Nasser just learned it from, and that would be from the hekesh of kshira and ksiva. Rav Ashi says, you know where he learns it from? He learns it from the strange spelling of the word yadicha, where it says v'ayala ot al yadicha. It's written with a hey at the end instead of with just a chof sofit. It's a chof pshuta. It's a chof kufa and a hey. Very strange. So what does that mean? Says Rav Ashi, that means that you could read it as yad kehe. That is to say, your weaker hand. So put it on the hand that is not your leading hand. And that would mean specifically on your left hand. But here, it would be dependent, lechora, on whether you are a righty or a lefty, as we're going to see later on in the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav Abba or Rav Ashi, maybe to read that hey, instead of reading it as yad kehei, why don't we read it as yad koach? Because oftentimes, hey and chet are changed. They're interchangeable. So this would mean your strong hand, and dafka would mean put your tefillin on your right hand. Oh, my label, I don't understand what you're asking. The only time that we switch a chet with a hey is where we don't have a diuk that works out is a drasha for a hey. So we say, okay, so this must be a remes to a chet. We're not going to change a hey to a chet for no reason. So does it say it with a chet? It says it with a hey. So mikdiv bechet. Therefore, the correct drasha would be yad kehei. Kitanoi. By the way, some learn it doesn't mean yad chof hey is yad kehei. It means yadecha is a feminine version of yad. So instead of saying yadcha with the chof, it would mean yadecha, which the hey always turns something into feminine. So to make it your feminine hand, it would mean your weaker hand. Wherever something is not in its full strength, we use the feminine for describing it in its adjective and so on. And in fact, we do the opposite. We use the masculine, even when we're referring to feminine, if it's a particularly strong feminine, like we found by Rut and Naomi, that they are shtehem instead of hen. Okay, this is an alternative. But in any event, it certainly seems to mean your weaker hand. Acherim omrim, others say, that's not, there's actually the Tanoi, because the Tanakama says yadacha with a hey refers to your weaker hand, and therefore it's referring to yad small. But acherim omrim, yadacha, this means a hand which is not fully functional. So that means it's rabot, it should say with a hey over here, by the way, the correct spelling. So that yadacha is l'rabot et agidim. What that's coming to include is a non-functional hand. It's not just weak. It's a hand that doesn't work. So it's a broken. It's a broken arm, not just a weaker arm. So that would mean that even if the arm is not functional, so let's say it's nerve damaged or it's been broken to the extent that you can't move it, doesn't make any difference. You still put the tefillin on that hand. So that's coming to tell me that even if someone is a gidame, it doesn't mean literally a gidame, that he doesn't have a hand at all, but that he doesn't have a working hand. So the Tanakama here is the same as Ravashi, that we darshan yadcha to mean your weaker hand. Masha'in came, the second acherim, they hold that it means not a weak hand, but a ruined hand. Tanya Idach, another braita, says, how about if someone doesn't have his left arm? So he actually is a gidame and he's missing the arm entirely. So if elo zeroa, patur min hatefillin. So then he doesn't have any way of putting on his tefillin shel yad. That doesn't mean he's putter from his tefillin shel rosh. We're going to see later on that there are two separate mitzvahs. And if he can't do the tefillin shel yad, of course, he would still do the tefillin shel rosh. We discussed this yesterday in terms of the mitzvah, in terms of the bracha on the mitzvah. Whereas acherim omrin, masha enkin, the acherim say, yadecha is the rabot et hagidim. So according to this, yadcha would mean that even if he's missing the entire left arm, how about that could be it's true, and that we obviously, if there is no left arm, so he's potter, but they're talking about where he's a gidem, but he still has that upper part of his left arm. So Yadcha tells me, put the tefillin on whatever is left of the arm on top, on the stump of the arm. Fine. That's the way some learn this Gemara. Okay, others learn that actually it's a machlokas, and that the acherim hold, think about what it means to be an amputee of the left arm. It means that your right arm, what happens over there is that now the left arm, if it's gone, you still would put your tefillin on your right arm. Masha Inkin, the others who don't learn like that say, if you don't have a left arm, then your right arm is not your Yad Kehei. Your right arm is the only arm you've got, and therefore it's going to be entirely, is going to be Chayev. So you don't have the, it's going to be the Yad that's kosher, you don't have what to be kosher on. Okay, so basically, if you don't have, I shouldn't say you, if one doesn't have a left arm, Pashtus says he's Potter from Tefillin, according to everybody. If he has a stump of a left arm, so then he puts tefillin on whatever is left of his left arm. If his right arm is missing, so then he would still put his tefillin on his left arm. Obviously, he'd have to ask somebody to put it on him. Although others, Taina, that then it's not Yad Kehei anymore, because then his left arm, if it's his only arm, can't possibly be Yad Kehei. But again, this is the way that Tosfos understands it, is that if he's missing his right arm, his left arm is still considered to be his Yad Kehei for tefillin. And if he's missing the lower part of the arm, of his right arm, so then he is now no longer, this even Tosfos agrees to, if he's missing the lower part of his right arm, that means that he becomes essentially a lefty, obviously. That's the only hand he has. And therefore, his right stump would be the left if you hold that it switches from right, which later on the Gemara is going to say that if somebody is a lefty, then his left is the equivalent of other people's right, and his right is other people's left, which would mean that in this case, he would put his tefillin on his right stump, because if he doesn't have a right hand, so then obviously his becomes the Yad Kehei. Tana Rabbana, how about someone who's a lefty? If he's an Iter, miniach tefillin b'yimino, so he puts his tefillin on his right arm, because that becomes smolo in terms of this mitzvah, because that is his Yad Kehei. Okay, so now again, this is certainly true, according to Rav Ashi, who darshans that it's a function of whatever hand is the weaker hand. But not everybody learned that that was the marker, right? What if you learn that the marker is the kshira to the ksiva? How about that? So then, if Rashi understands that to be statistical, then it's just defining your left hand as the hand to put on your tefillin. That's a machlokas. Not everybody learns that it's statistical. But how about if you learn from the pasuk that every time it says in the pasuk yad, it always means the yad that is small. Then it has stam, nothing to do with the individual. And if it says put tefillin on small, it means small. It doesn't mean on the hand that is weaker. It doesn't mean the other hand where you're sholeit with a different hand. It has nothing to do with it. So then it would just be absolute. The Torah defined what the hand is. So that means that if we say over here that an iter is meniach tefillin b'yimino, that's only clear 100%. It's only clear that that's true according to Rav Ashi, but who learns that it's a function of the hey and the yad kehei. Masha ein kein, if you learn that it's because of the way that the Tanakhama explained it, that it's defined as the left hand, then this would not be true. What's more, if you learn the way Rashi understands the hekesh of kshira to ksiva, and that is that it's normally ksiva is done with the right, it's also not true, because there too, it's defining the hand as an absolute. So therefore, this is not so pashut. It's only a psak according to one or two out of the three shitas that we have, which makes the next kasha a little bit problematic, because the Gemara asks now, how do you explain the fact, therefore, that Vatanya in the Brisa, that a lefty puts it on his left arm, shorush smolo shokol adam, because that is the standard left arm, meaning that is the standard weaker arm. So that seems to be saying that even if he's a lefty, he still would put it on his left hand, and you said if he's a lefty, he puts it on his right hand. How do you explain that? Now, Rabosai, that's a problem, because it's easy to explain that, isn't it? I mean, we just saw that the only time we saw it as a function of your being a lefty or a righty was according to Rav Ashi. What if this is not going like Rav Ashi's approach, and the Mokra and the Pasuk is just the absolute approach? So, if you analyze the words that were said over here, meniach b'smolo, you put it in your left hand, shehu smolo shokol adam, because most people, that means everybody else, would call this small, whatever you want to call it, and therefore we follow that meaning of small. So that means that the Braita is giving this as a reason where otherwise I would have said that we should go according to the individual's koach, right? Otherwise, why are we talking about that? We mean it's the small of other people. It's the definition of the word left. You can't change right and left because you happen to be a lefty. Now you're going to turn right when Waze tells you to turn left. I mean, that's ridiculous. So giving this as a reason is nuts. Put it on your left hand because, well, for other people, it's a left hand. No, that's not true. So obviously, this Braita must be saying that even if you hold a Rav Ashi and it's a function of the weaker one, it doesn't matter because we'll go according to what other people would consider. And most people would find this to be their weaker hand. So that would mean it's a direct contradiction to the previous Braita. So even though, of course, the Braita wouldn't be a problem if all that it said was an iter yad, somebody who's a lefty, still puts it on his left hand. Okay, that's not a stira. But if it's telling me that the reason is because we're bevatel to the standard other people would still be seen this, then it clearly is going like Rav Ashi. Anyway, says Abaye, it's not a problem because we could be talking about an ambidextrous. And therefore, vishole pishtei yadav, if both of his hands, that's what it's talking about over there. So if he can use both of his hands, so then he still views the small the way that most people would view small. That would be the point. Tana Devei Menashe, when the Torah says, Al Yadecha, it's referring to not your hand. Remember, this is a bit confusing because in English, a hand is, of course, the lower part that is the hand as opposed to the arm. But in Lashon HaKodesh, the yad includes the entire arm and hand. So first of all, we have to figure out, how do we know that we don't put the tefillin on the hand? I mean, after all, if Ra'u kol amei ha'aretz kishem Hashem, etc., is nikra lecha, maybe that's the best place to put it. If the point of tefillin, as Tosis explained earlier, is to be vayapalel, like vayamot pinchas vayapalel, so then it's always in your face. So if it's in your face, it should be like a bunch of steel knuckles. It's the brass knuckles they use, right? So you should have your tefillin right there on your hand. So how do we know it doesn't mean that? So Tanya Devei Menashe. Actually, al yadecha refers to the kiboret. So the kiboret is your biceps. Bein einecha refers to the katkod, which we're going to explain what that is. So what do you mean when you say katkod? This is not referring to Tzahal's katkod, because katkod here is dafka defined by infants. So they may be infantile, but they're certainly not infants. And therefore, Ami Devei Rabbi Yonai, Mekom Shemocho Shel Tinok Rofes, where you find on an infant, until about 1 year, the skull is still forming in order to allow the brain to continue to grow. And because of that, you can actually make out the flow of blood in that area of the, you can see pulsing in that area of the skull.
Infantry. Beautiful, Ari.
You got him. Ari, you got him. That's it. Barnea will never leave this down. Oh my gosh. Infantry. Amazing. What a day this is. Rosh Chodesh Adar. V'nahafachu. Okay. So that is called the fontanelle, as you know. So that is the soft area of the skull, a very vulnerable area. And that is what the katkod is referring to. So bar mine plimo me rebbe. So Plimo made the mistake. Oh boy, was it a mistake. He made the mistake of asking Rebbe, tell me, what would be the din of someone who's got two heads? Which head does he put his tefillin on? So Mishi Eshlo Shnei Rashim, Be'ez Me'yameniach Tefillin, which head would he put his tefillin on? Would he actually learn out from the small of Tefillin Shel Yad? Anyway, Rebbe was not happy. Omar Lay. So Rebbe said, okay, you're making turning this into a joke. Either get up and move away, you know, or you can drink your drink. Oh, no, sorry, that was somebody else. Either go and move away, or you have to be Makabo that we're going to put you into Cherem. So, O Kum Gile, O Kabel Alach Shamta. As this is going on, somebody comes into the Beis HaMedrash, and he says, I have a Shaila. I just had a child born with two heads, and I need to know how much I have to pay Barnea. Do I pay 5 shkolin per head, or can I get away with only paying one time 5 shkolin, because it's actually only one body. Now, it sounds crazy, but there are people that actually do survive. Obviously, it's not the same case was over here. It's not literally a two-headed person, but it sure looks like a two-headed person. So these would be cases of dicephalic twins, basically, where everything is the same except for the head. There's usually two spines also, but there's one body with two heads. And these people can live, you know, the oldest surviving that is known about lived into the 60s. So it's not a totally crazy situation, right? I mean, it's okay. So the Mefarshim say it's true. It's not a totally crazy situation, but Rebbe felt that it was so unlikely that there would, as we'll see, because if it's not, they're not going to survive till Bar Mitzvah. What are the chances that they'll survive that you need to find out what the din is about the tefillin? But nonetheless, listen, there's two sisters like this that have been living like this for I think they're in their 30s now, and they actually are teachers. They teach different subjects. One that teaches one subject, one that teaches the other subject in a regular high school. It's like weird. And one of them is married, and the other one can't stand the guy I'm looking into.
Talking heads.
Amazing, amazing story. No, it's Mamish. Anyway, so this is what happened over here. So somebody comes in and he says, how much do I pay for the Pidyon Bechores? So at that moment, Asa Ahusaba, which remember Tosus has said, Ahusaba, there's a Kabbalah that wherever it says Ahusaba, it's a reference to Eli Yohan Ovi. And he told Rebbe that what you need to say is Tonale Chayav Litin Lo Ezer Sloyim. You have to pay double because each one of these is considered to be a separate bechor. And it's not the same as twins. On twins, you only pay one because you have Shalit Samsam. So we say one of them is really the bechor. But over here, since it's the same body, so it's considered to be, it's possible that it's literally Pesach Recha. Anyway, the question is, isn't there another problem here that you're not mechuyev to pay anything for the buchar? Any v'atani rami bar chama mitoshenem are padotif de buchar adam. So when you double the lashon of padotif de, remember that that's always a ribui. It seems to be saying under any conditions padotif de. So you might think shomeani afilo nitraf petoch shloshim, even if that child was. Rashi learns that nitraf means that he was killed, not just that he became a treifa. Tosfos learns it means that he became a treifa, which works much better into the sugya. The difference is why, because Tosfos tainis, if it means he was killed, then that actually is a beferish a mishnah, where we talk about that. Why would we bring in a raya over here from Rami Bar Chama's brisa? Okay, but whatever, it says that the Podotif Teh ought to include even a case where there is no Bechor to be Podah by the time he's Shloshim. So, Shomea Ani Afilu Nitraf B'toch Shloshim, Talmud Lomar, Ach is Chalak. That tells me, no. We always say Ach means not under all circumstances. So that means we have a specific Miut. The Ribui, we'll have to figure out what the Ribui is for. It's a lot of discussion about what we do use the Ribui for. But how could Eliyahu have said that you're mechuyev to pay double? Says the Gemara, it's different. Now, this is very different between Rashi and Tosfos, and it also explains why, according to Rashi, it says he died. And that's because if you learn that the problem over here is that he's a treifa, and that basically since he was nitraf, so a treifa is considered that he's enochaya, in which case, even if he's alive and he manages to survive, he still wouldn't be considered to be b'chayev yuna b'char. Well, obviously, somebody who has two heads is considered to be a treifa, because the klal is that if there anything which, if it would be missing, is considered to be a treifa, so then if you have more than one of them, it's the same thing as if it's missing. So therefore, if you have two heads, then you have a din of a treifa. So why in the world would it be chayav? Shiny Hassan answers the Gemara an amazing thing. That since when it came, when it was talking over there about the exchanging the Levium for the Bechores, how did we work out who it was that would pay the Chamisha Shkolim? And how we measured the number, we counted the number of people. It turned out that we had, remember, 273 more Bechores. And not really, but those Levium themselves were Bechoris, and therefore it was Dayim that they were paid as Atzmon. So we had to have those people pay. And there we said, we did it by counting Legulgolet. It says, V'lakachta chameshet chabeshet shkalim Legulgolet. Strange way of talking about. Per skull? So you see that Dafka the Terah was Marba over there, that when it comes to having an additional head, that it goes according to the head. Otherwise, why would we say such a thing? That's why we needed Eliyahu HaNavi. I mean, otherwise, like, your immediate response is a treifa, it's ridiculous. But over here, we're saying, going back to the way the Torah defined the Chamesh Shkolim, in terms of specifically skulls and brains. So then that would mean that we actually, as opposed to the dinim of treifas, in this case, we don't look at the dinim of treifas. That's the way Tosfos would learn it. According to Rashi, the problem wasn't Nitra, the problem was that he died. And over here, what we're talking about, it's not the same. Omar Mar, since it says, by Tfilin Yadecha, we said, that Yadecha refers to your upper arm, the biceps. Now, how do you know that? Minolam, what makes you say that it doesn't mean your hand? Isn't the Pashtas, it should be in your face, just like on your head? The Tana Rabban. Here's another brisa. Al yadecha zo gova shebiyad. This is the high part of your arm, a reference to the biceps. Ata omer ze gova shebiyad. Maybe it means al yadecha, on your hand, where people can see it. Amra Torah. So therefore, the Torah says, hanach tefilin biyad, v'hanach tefilin barosh. Ma'alahalan begova barosh, afkan begova shebiyad. Since the Torah compares the dinim of tefillin of the yad to the tefillin shel rosh, and the rosh is, you put it bedavka in the front of the head. Now, how we know that, we don't know yet. But, I mean, we did say that, so we'll assume that it's true. Then we'll ask how we know it there. So Ma'al HaHalon Begova Sheberosh Afkan Begova Shebiyad. So therefore, it would mean that it should be on the upper part of your arm. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, you don't have to know it from there. It's very clear. It says Vahaya Lechalaot. Why does it say Vahaya Lechalaot? Why doesn't it just say Vahaya Laot? I mean, after all, the whole idea of the Tefillin Shel Rosh was that V'ra'u Kol Amei Ha'aretz. I mean, a Dafka, it's supposed to be exposed. It's supposed to be Begova Shel Rosh. Everybody should see that the Shem Hashem is Nikra Alecha. And here it specifies, no, keep it to yourself. It should be an oath for you. So that means Lecha La'ot V'lo La'acherim La'ot. That comes to tell me that you should not put it on your hands, because if you were wearing it on your hands, everybody would see it, which must mean that it's in a makom that is usually covered by a beged. So the part of your arm that is usually covered by a beged is only the upper part, unless you're a bor, of course. But I mean, regular people, they wear, even if they're wearing short sleeves, they will cover their tefillin. So that must be, it's a reference to the bicep, essentially. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, I'll give you another mocker. You don't need that mocker either. Einot tzarich, you don't need neither of those approaches. But actually, since it says, V'samtem et v'rayela alav avchem, ukshatem li'ot, that means that the kshira should be keneged levavchem. So how is the kshira on your yad keneged the lev? That can only work if you put the tefillin on the upper part of the arm. So then a line drawn from the tefillin shel yad to your heart would be straight across. That must be the mokum that you put your tefillin. And therefore, being shetehe sima keneged alev. So it means dafka, it should be in a place where it is keneged halev. So now, according to that, it would mean that if it has to be keneged halev, it has to be on the lower half of the muscle. Because once it goes above the lower half of the muscle, it's no longer keneged halev. So this means that there would be a nafkamina lahalacha between Rabbi Yitzchak's approach and the first two approaches, which was not dafka on keneged halev, it would just be the upper part of your arm. So if it's the upper part of your arm, maybe the further up the better, because it's more likely to be covered by the sleeve if it's further up. So this is actually a real machlokas. Lamaisa, there is an actual machlokas, lahalacha, at least for Ashkenazim, it's a machlokas between Rama and the Gra about whether it's dafka is the entire area kosher or dafka the area which is keneged halev is kosher. Obviously, we're makbid, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that it should be keneged halev, because we know that Reb Chiya and Reb Acha, Brei de Reb Avia, they were very mechavin to put bedafka lahade libe. So they put their tefillin, first of all, on the lower part of the muscle, and secondly, they even bent the tefillin slightly inside, towards the inside of the body, so that if you put your arm across your chest, the tefillin will then come out keneged halev. So that's the way that they used to do it, halacha lemaisa, and because of that, that's the way it's done. Rav Ashi, havi yasif kamei de'amimah. So once, Rav Ashi, his hand keeps moving back and forth between hand and no hand. Did you want to say something, Moshe Reuven?
Yeah, if it has to be keneged halev, doesn't it have to be on the left side? Even for a Yeter Yad?
You mean why we wouldn't use this as one of the rayas you're saying, or before?
Yeah.
More general question, not why we wouldn't say bedafka this.
Both.
Why didn't we make this a raya as to what? Yeah, I guess if we wouldn't have known that it has to be bedafka on Yad Kehe, we would have said keneged halev doesn't mean that it's mamish on the hand which is closest to the lave. We would say, I mean, the lave, after all, is almost in the middle of the chest. We would say that it means on that gova of the chest. It must be, right? I'm assuming. I mean, you could say that as easily as I. Rav Ashi, Avi Yosef Kameda Mema. So Rav Ashi was sitting once and learning Butamemar and Havik Sire Biyode, the sleeve had torn on the upper part of the sleeve, and you were able to see his tefillin. And this was because there's a whole discussion over here that apparently he had an infection on his arm that was bleeding, and he tore the dafka there in order not to put pressure on. Now there's a whole question, what if there's a bandage beneath it, is it considered to be? That's a whole issue of a chatzitza. But anyway, it was visible. So Amale Rav Ashi asked him, how come it's visible? Lo tzavar l'amah l'cholot v'lo l'achirim l'ot. Don't you hold that we darshan that it's dafka l'cho? Omar Lay, that doesn't mean that it literally has to be not visible to others. It's only there to tell me where it is that I'm supposed to put it on the arm. But it's not literally that it has to be only l'chala'ot. It means b'mekom l'chala'ot itmar. That was only said to make sure that you put it on that part of your arm, the upper arm, which is l'chala'ot. But it certainly doesn't mean you can't walk around with your tefillin exposed. Now that is a fascinating question, halacha lemaisa, because it's interesting that even the Rav Shulchan Aruch paskins like that, that there is no inyan to cover your tefillin, and that basically this we paskin like Amemar, who says that the din of l'chala'ot is only and completely in terms of the placement, the place, literally meant. Masha'in kein, al pi Kabbalah, there's a lot of discussion because in Reb Chaim Vital writes that the Ari taught that at Bedavka you have to be makbid, that it shouldn't be seen, and therefore, which is surprising that that's not, the Rav Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring that. But anyway, because of it, so a lot of, what should I say? A lot of, Hasidish Sfarim or Kabbalah Sfarim say that Lamaisa, you should be careful not to expose your tefillin. But in terms of Halacha Lamaisa, there doesn't seem to be any Akpada. Reb Avadi Yosef also said it's not, in terms of Sfarim, it's not a din specifically in keeping it covered. It just means B'mokom L'chala'ot. I'm pretty sure that he did quote the Arizal in the Psak. I'm pretty sure that I don't remember it that way. Okay, anyway, going on to what we assumed. So we said, in the same way that you have to put your tefillin on the Gova HaRosh, so too, you have to put your tefillin Shayad on the Gova Shayad. But why are we taking, as a Dover Poshet, that you have to put your tefillin on the Gova HaRosh? I mean, it says Beinei Necha. Doesn't Beinei Necha mean between your eyes? Shouldn't we have the tefillin actually between your eyes? And people should see it directly. The Tana Rabbana, since it says in the Torah, Beinei Necha, what Beinei Necha means is Zugova Barosh. What? Ata Omer Zugova Shabarosh. I mean, that's not the way I read it. Beinei Necha. It says what it says. It means put it between your eyes. Can't be that. Tell you what. Because it says Beinei Necha here. Where else does it say in the Torah, Beinei Necha? Lo tasimu korecha ben einechem lemeit. Now, how do you make a korecha? By tearing out hair. Well, how can you tear out hair in an area that doesn't have hair? So, obviously, what it means is don't tear out the hair of your head in a place which is kineged ben einayin, where people will see it. So, the same thing it means over here. So, since it uses the lashon ben einecha, ben einechem, I mean, that's the same thing for gzeirah shavah. And malahalon begova shabarosh, so too over here, it has to be, it's a mokum sha'osa karacha, it's got to be on the scalp, it can't be on your forehead. So the same thing is true over here, afkan, begova shorosh, mokum sha'osa karacha. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, you don't even need to come on to that as a gzera shava. Because since omro teira anach tefillin biyad, and anach tefillin barosh, so just like this is an amazing, the last thing you would think of. Absolutely amazing drasha of Rabbi Yehuda. So it obviously has to be the same, right? So just like over there, you put your tefillin shabiyad in a place where there's only one simen. If you had tzaras, then the tzaras on your on your hand would be a tzaras that would be tame with the simen of Seir Lovan, because Seir Lovan is the din in a makom that's not hairy. So because of that, it only has one simen. So too, if it's talking about the head, it has to be a place that's only right for one simen of the tzaras. But if it would mean b'nei necha literally, so then some of that area would have your eyebrows in it, and that would have a din of Seir Tzahov, and the other part would be just on skin, and that would have a din of Seir Lavan. How could the Torah call that the same place if it would be one is Tfilin Shayad and one is Tfilin Shorosh? Good heavens. They would be Tameh with different simanim. Not just different simanim, different numbers of simanim. That would be outrageous. So it's obvious, says Rabbi Yehuda. Is that amazing? So it's obvious that it's got to be between your eyes on your head. We're over there. You only have a simen of Seir Tzahov. Lafuke b'nei necha de'ika baser v'seir. In which case, you have both a simen of Seir Lavan and a simen of Seir Tzahov. Amazing. Okay, weiter, we go. That concludes our tefillin discussion. Now, let's take a look at the closing of the Mishnah. Barnea is dancing, the simcha of completing the Yochas tefillin element. And or maybe that was he was showing us tenuf or nesachim. Arba tzitziot. Okay, so next thing we have is a machlokes. Arba tzitziot or ma'akva to it. So if you're missing one of your tzitziot, then the whole beged is puzzle. She'arba'atan mitzvah achat. And Rabbi Shmuel says, arba'atan arba mitzvot. So what exactly are the nafkaminas lahalacha between holding that they're four separate mitzvahs and holding that they're all one mitzvah? Rav Yosef, well, there's a lot of differences. Look, for instance, suppose you have a linen sheet. Now, if you're going to put in tzitzis in your linen sheet, then they're going to have tchelas in them, and they're going to be shatnas. So they're only kosher if you're actually being mekayim in the midst of tzitzis. And therefore, if you would be sleeping on that or wearing that sheet, so then you would be actually over on Kilayim, because it's not kosher tzitzis. So if you hold each one as a separate mitzvah, so then you have one tzitzis. That's already enough to be deicher Kilayim, because this is the mitzvah of tzitzis. And we learn out that this is the whole ikar, as to deicher loisas, and the idea of gedilim tasalacha is put together with the iser of shatnas. So even one tzitzis would be enough, and Rabbi Shmuel would say, that's fine, put in tchelas. Tanakama would say, chas v'shalom, if you only have one, two, or three tzitziot, don't you dare put in tchelas. Rav Bar Hina says, another tremendous nafkamina, suppose you have five separate corners on your beket, right? So you're going to the opera, and you're wearing the five-corner talis. So now what would be the din if you've got five corners? According to Rabbi Yishmael, you'd have to put tzitzis on every corner, because there's a specific mitzvah, put tzitzis on the corner, each one separate. I don't look at the entire beged as some kind of holistic thing. Mashenkin, according to the Tanakhama, we're going to see, the din is that you only put on the four far apart corners, not on five corners. And Ravina says, another nafkamina. Nafkamina would be what it was that Ravuna said, the Omer Ravuna, somebody who wears a talit that is not mitsuyetzet kihilchata, but is mitsuyetzet, is going to be chayav achatas. If you walk out on Shabbos without tzitzis at all, fine. So that's not a problem, because Yosera, aren't I mechuyev to put on tzitzis? Well, obviously, I can't tie tzitzis on Shabbos. So therefore, there's no iser in wearing a beged without tzitzis. There's only a chiv to put in the tzitzis. If I can't put in the tzitzis, it doesn't say anywhere, don't wear that beged because it doesn't have tzitzis, as we're going to see. So now, if he's got tzitzis that are partial, then if he wears these out into Rishu Sarabim, he's going to be over on Hotzah, and he'll be chayav a carbon chatas. So that would be a big nafkamina. According to Rabbi Shmuel, if you have one, two, three corner tzitzis, that would be perfectly good because each one is a separate mitzvah. And therefore, the tzitzis become part of your beged and you're allowed to wear clothes on Shabbos. Mashenken, according to the Tanakhama, what are those strings hanging down over there? Those aren't tzitzis because they're not on all four corners. In which case, you're walking around carrying strings. Why are you carrying strings? They're not part of your beged, and therefore you would be chayav achatas. Omer Rav Shisha b'Rei d'Ravidi, speaking about the five-cornered begadim, you should know, if you cut off, I mean, what that means is, if you cut off a corner from a four-cornered beged, thinking that that way you're going to save yourself the problem of it's needing to have tzitzis, and you don't have tzitzis, so you want to wear this without tzitzis, you ain't getting anywhere with that because you turned it into a five-cornered beged by slicing off that corner on a diagonal. So now you simply added a corner, but you're still chayev on a four-cornered beged. As a matter of fact, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you're chayev an additional tzitzis. So what do you think you gained? Lo aved velo klum, because what you did was you were meshavia talid ba'alat chamesh. I'll tell you something else. Somebody who folds up the beged. So what does he do? He folds it back and he ties it so that way he doesn't have a corner at all. So he's got basically, he makes it round, by pulling in the corner and attaching it there. So then he's rounded, he doesn't have a corner. Lo aved velo klum. That doesn't mean a darn thing, because we look at something that's tied as if it's already untied. That's not something permanent. Now, this is one of the approaches to the sugya. Rashi brings another approach in which you took an entire beged, you folded the beged in two, so now it's half of the size, and you put the tzitzis in the four corners of the folded beged. So now you think that you pottered that beged by having tzitzit on the four corners of the fold. But you did not potter the beged, because since we look at it, Kamanda Sharia Dami, since it's only knotted into two parts, we look at it as if it's actually already untied, in which case the fold doesn't mean anything. And we have a Mishnah in Kalin, basically, that says the same thing, because it says, Kol hamatot atzurot toharot. Say somebody makes himself, he doesn't have what to drink in, so he took some leather, he tied it at the bottom, it was a leather cylinder, he tied it at the bottom, and now it holds water. That's not called a base kibbo, and it's not a kli, and it's not going to be a makabel tuma. Why? Because we don't look at tying as being something that's a permanent definition of how it is, and therefore the same way it doesn't change the kli into a kli that's makabel tuma, it doesn't change your beged, which has the same din of kalim. A beged is a type of kli. It doesn't change your beged into a beged that has those four corners. The only one are the Arabs, because Arabs, they make things like garbage, and they permanently make their flasks out of a knot. They don't even bother producing a nice flask that's sewn shut and so on. Omar Ravdimi Minarda, Haiman de Chayte Leklime. How about if you even sewed down the corners? Lo avad velo klum. It doesn't make any difference. Because it's not only that we look at a knot as being impermanent. We look at sewing in that fashion as impermanent. You know why? Because in Itagolomi Boyle, if he really meant to permanently knock off those corners, why did he sew them down instead of cutting them off and putting on a seam? Obviously, in Itagolomi Boyle, if he doesn't want those corners, live silk, he should have cut it off for Lishadia. Throw it in the garbage. Why are you walking around with that corner sewed on, which looks weird? Must be that you actually don't want to leave it this way. So since you don't want to leave it this way, it doesn't define the nature of the beged. And then we said, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Arba Atan, Arba Mitzvot, Omer of Yudam Shmuel. Yes, that's how we pass can look, Rabbi Shmuel. But the truth is, we don't. We do not pass it like Shmuel's psak, which is that we paskin like Rav Yehuda. And actually, there's a clear raya from an actual Maisa Shahaya, Ravina, was walking behind Maharavashi, and it was the Shabbat of the Rigla. So it was during the Shabbatot that prepare for the Yontif, where it's like packed, there's thousands of people that come to the drushas. And he saw that if Sikarni Dukhute, he saw that the corner was torn off, his tzitzis got ripped off, which Mar Baravashi had no idea that had happened. And Ravina didn't want to tell him. So he didn't tell him anything. When they came to the house of Mar Baravashi, so then Ravina said to him, listen, you should know that these tzitzis were ripped off. And they actually got ripped off at when we were passing by the mailbox on the corner. And Mar Baravashi said to him, well, if you had told me then, Yamartli, at the mailbox, I would have thrown off this beged right then and there in order not to carry in the Rosh Hashanah. But you would have taken off your clothes in the middle of the street? I mean, don't we have a klal that says, Godol kovod habriya is shedoicha loitaseh shebatorah? That even an isser of a loitaseh is, which over here is carrying on Shabbos, is an isser of a loitaseh, but it's not as great as the mitzvah of kovod habriya. So how would you, and I mean, you're also a birya, you know what they say in Yiddish? Du bist eichet amam is a kind. You think you weren't born of a mother? You're also human. If there's a dinner kovod habriyas, then your own kovod habriyas is also important. So why would you have thrown off your clothes in the middle of the street? That would have been bizyanus. So why did Rabban Baravashi say I would have taken off the clothes in the middle of the street? Tirguma Rav Barshva Kameder of Kahana, that when it says Dercha Loisa Seshabatera, it's true. But you know what that Lota Seshabatera is? Lota Sur Minadavash Ayomulacha Yomino Swal means Xere Derabonan. So ultimately, Xere Derabonan is based on a Lota Seh. So what it means is you can ignore an Issa Derabonan if it's going to cause a public humiliation. Fine. But it doesn't mean that Chas v'Shalom, what is this, a reformed synagogue? Well, it's embarrassing, so you can carry, therefore, on Shabbos, Chas v'Shalom. And therefore, if Ravina told Mar Baravashi, so then he would have been mechuyev to actually take it off. Others say that he did tell him at the mailbox. And the awesome Omarle. And what Mar Baravashi said to him is, what are you telling me at the mailbox? You want me to take my clothes off right here and now? My daitech, do you hold the mishdai? I'm supposed to take it off here. I'm not going to take my clothes off in the middle of the street because you got a problem with my tzitzis. What? What did he suddenly become a reformed rabbi? That only applies to an issur derabanan. And over here he was carrying it, an Issa D'Oraisa. So how is it shayach that he told him that? He should have, in fact, taken his clothes off. How do you explain that? No, the mailbox was in a Carmelite. It wasn't in Rosh Hashanah. So it's only Midrabanan that it had a din of Rosh Hashanah. So therefore he tied it. This is a classic case in which I would take off my clothes because of an Issa D'Rabanan. That I'm not going to do because of Gadol Kavod Habriyas. And therefore, why are you telling me in the middle of the street it doesn't make any nafka mina anyway? Can't you see that we're in a Carmelis? Hadron Alach HaKometz. Now, just when Richie had a day that could have fulfilled his month, Dafka, he wasn't able to come. How do you like that? And Doc is missing as well. We're going to have to make do with old me. Hadron Alach HaKometz B'li Neder. Okay. All right. I figured you'd want to finish the parak today with the Kvod Rosh Chodesh. I mean, we could have stopped a little earlier, but okay, it's a little late. And I'm wishing you all a Chodesh Tov U'Mevorach. May we be zocha to see that V'Nahafachu and Yishlatu HaYehudim Heimal Soneihem Al Kol Soneihem all over. This was a beautiful article that was, that we have this chus, I think it was in the Spectator, I said, Ari Heyer sent it to me, that we have the privilege of being hated by the entire crazy world. we should be so happy and excited to have that schus. So Baruch Hashem, we're holding at the time like that. May we be zochet to the v'nahafuchu asher yishuv tzva Yehudim.